Welcome to the RUF SCAD podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and creativity. Martin, campus minister here. Today from Midtown Savannah, we've got Morgan Woodward. Morgan, welcome.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
We're so glad you're here.
Can I break the fourth wall?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. I mean, hello, isn't that everyone. What's happening?
Isn't by nature a podcast breaking the fourth wall?
I guess so.
We'll be postmodern on this one. That's fine. And with like 2 weeks to go, right? Before, I guess 3 weeks. Before graduation?
Like 21 days. 24 days. Something like that.
Do you have like a little advent calendar
that you're counting down? No, I just open my calendar and I count like every 5 seconds of my day.
Like a real calendar?
Yeah.
Is that like counting down because you're so sad and you're trying to maximize, or counting down because like it can't come soon enough?
A mixture of both. Of like, I'm not ready for it to come, so I need to know when it's coming. But also, I need to know when it's coming so I can appreciate everything more.
That's fair. Yeah. That's a good answer. So, all right, Morgan, where are you from?
I am from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. The wonderful Midwestern, the most Midwestern city in the world, where absolutely nothing happens.
What would you say is something people need to know about Oklahoma that they probably don't know? Or, like, dispelling a common misconception. Or confirming a common conception.
It's very flat. And that's about it.
That makes Mississippi sound super exciting.
Yeah. But some people, like, you know, there's the beauty in the flatness. The sunsets and the all that fun stuff. But
that's like the Mississippi Delta.
That is the peak element of Oklahoma, is the flatness.
Man, what a claim to fame. I think that's sad, but I can't really tell.
And football and basketball.
Yeah, it's like the South. Okay, so from Oklahoma, how on earth did you end up at SCAD?
When I was in high school and middle school, all I did was play sports. I played softball, golf, and basketball, and I was really good at softball, and it was my entire life, and I was just so focused on that and on business, and I wanted to go to a business school, and I wanted to play softball, and like that was it. It was set out. And then my senior year of high school, I went to a Votech school where I took a digital media class because it had to do with computers and editing. And I had really gotten kind of away from softball. I had quit like school ball and kind of started branching out and realizing there was more to life than a high school softball team.
Better to realize that at like 17, 18 than like 40.
Yeah, I think I was very burnt out. Like, it was some of the best years of my life, and I don't regret playing sports so intensely at all. But it was a very much burnt out situation of I did not want to spend the next 4 years of my life doing the same thing that I've been doing this whole time. So I tried something new, and I had really gotten into music and concerts and movies and TV shows like all at once my senior year. So I think in the back of my head, I was like, I'm just gonna go be like a music video editor and travel with a band like every teenager's dream. So I took
this. Did you have one band picked out like in this dream scenario?
My favorite band at the time, maybe still is 21 Pilots.
And so you had it all mapped out.
Yeah, and they have this guy who, like, follows them around on tour, and he just, like, records the whole thing. And I'm like, that's the perfect life. You don't have to do anything but, like, walk around and record and be on tour. So that was the dream. So I took this digital media class, and I learned, like, Photoshop and editing, and I was really good at it. But it also had to do with business. So then those kind of came together as like, okay, well, I can edit like commercials and I can do marketing at the same time through this like digital media wave. And I got really into that senior year, and I was visiting all these colleges, and I went to all these ones that I had these like softball scholarships for, and I was talking to all the coaches, and they were these great business schools, and it would have been free to go to. And then, like, out of nowhere, I got up the courage to go to my dad and say, I really want to go to this, I want to try this art school in Savannah. And he said, oh, what's their softball team like? And I said, they don't have sports, not regular sports. So, and my parents are very great and very supportive. And they took me, and we went and we visited. And I think what really sold it was the city. Because I had always wanted to just get out of Oklahoma. I was like, I don't care where I go to college. It's just not going to be in Oklahoma. I had already done it. I'd been there 18 years. Like, I wanted something new. And I had been through this whole transition of, like, being this sporty girl to, like, this nerd. So it was kind of, like, the perfect place. It was, like, kind of a big city, but not, like, New York big, where it was really scary.
Right.
and everyone had all this Southern hospitality that I was used to. So when we were visiting, it was just like the most beautiful city, the most beautiful school. Everyone was so, you can do anything you want. You don't have to do business and softball. And I was like, ooh, and I really liked it. And so that's where I ended up going. I decided the month before I graduated high school that I was not playing softball and that's what I wanted to do. And so that's what I did.
That's a very pivotal shift and a very interesting time to have that pivotal shift.
Yeah.
So was the softball burnout, did that predate the interest in kind of digital media, or was that happening at the same time? It was like softball was phasing out and I kind of needed something to fill just that passion. Like, how did those two things overlap?
I think they were happening at the same time of I was kind of dying out on softball. I was still playing and I still really loved it, but it's like every single time I played, I was just like, I've done this before. There's nothing new. And I just didn't want to have to wake up for 4 years at 5 a.m. and work out because I had been doing it my whole life.
When you put it like that, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it just seemed like a break and something new to move on towards.
So how did SCAD get on your radar then, of all schools?
So I was looking at film schools because I wanted to do post-production.
Yeah.
So that was like the goal, was post-production. And then, you know, you Google best film schools in America and SCAD's on there. And then you look at the pictures and you're like, oh, that one's prettier than all the other ones. Let's go look at that one. Let's just try.
So within the digital media realm, what did you end up landing on at SCAD? Which is a fancy way of asking, what are you studying? I try to find a more exciting way to ask, what are you studying at SCAD? That's a boring question. But what are you studying at SCAD?
So I came in as a film and television major because I wanted to do post-production editing. And I did that for about a year. And then I realized that being a film major is a lot more than post-production. And it's a lot of dealing with film students on set. And that I hated it. I hated it more than anything.
What do you really mean by that?
You
don't have to answer that, but you can, because it sounds like you have something in mind that you didn't like.
It was like being on set was the hardest and most uncreative part of the film making process, I guess. And so I took a few film classes, wasn't loving it. I just wanted to take editing classes, and there's only like two. And then someone was telling me, like, oh, well, if you just want to, like, be on computers all day, you should look into, like, visual effects or animation or something like that. And so sophomore year, I started looking into it, and I decided I was going to take a few visual effects classes because visual effects was, I mean, post-production editing, but it was, like, the coolest thing in the world because there was, like, fire and lasers, and it just seemed so much more fun. And I started taking the classes, and all the people were incredible, and they all loved what they were doing, and it was, like, this constant, like, learning environment, and I just fell in love with it.
So what would you say? Because visual effects, I think a lot of people kind of know what that means from a distance, but once you get into like, the details and the weeds, maybe not so much. Give us the, like, 15 to 20 second answer of, like, what is visual effects? Like, what does that mean?
I always explain it as everything you see in a movie or on TV or any video that is not real is visual effects.
That's a super helpful way to phrase it, actually.
So most people think it's just, like, the flames and, like, the big monsters and everything. Like, it is that, but it's also, like, the fake tree in the background. Yeah. It's every single thing that's not real is visual effects.
And it also seems like one of those fields where, and I think I feel this a little bit too, because recording engineering is this way, where unless you're talking about, like, a big blockbuster Marvel where the special effects are at the forefront, it's the kind of task that really, if it's done well, doesn't get noticed. It only gets noticed if it isn't done well. Like, if you put all of the sort of background things like they're supposed to look, and people don't realize it's not real, that means you did a good job. Yeah. Which means they also don't know you did a good job.
That's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
Is it to not be noticeable?
Yeah, man. I don't know if that's, like, relieving or kind of sad.
I think it's cool. Because once they realize it isn't real, then they're like, oh, no way. How'd you do that?
Yeah. what's, like, the question you get asked the most about VFX? Or, like, the thing you wish people would stop asking you?
Other than, what is it?
Yeah, oops. I was asking on behalf of other people, so they didn't have to.
I think a lot of people think it's a lot easier than it is.
Yeah.
They think it's like, oh, you're a visual effects artist. Can you make this entire film for me with these aliens and space? And it's like such a detailed process where it's like one person would not be able to do any like real visual effects. It takes like hundreds of people in a huge studio to do like a 5-minute Marvel scene.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's the one thing that people don't really get about it. They're just like, oh, you just throw it in and it looks pretty. And I'm like, nope, it's like 15 people go through a very detailed process to make one little tree look good in the background.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So within VFX, which avenue or which application have you gravitated towards?
So for the past like 2.5 years, I've been a lighting artist.
All right. I'm going to pause you there because you might have just been about to explain this. But let's pretend like I've never done any VFX work in my entire life. We're just pretending here. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it mean that you're a lighting artist?
So let's see, like, the smallest thing in the world. Like, one project we do is you, like, take an egg or a marshmallow and you take a picture of one, a real one, and then you put a fake one next to it. So, like, say we're going to go through that process of, like, making a marshmallow that looks realistic. So how it goes is you have a modeler who models the marshmallow, and then they send it to a texture artist who textures it, and then the texture artist and the modeler send both of those to the lighter. They put them together, and then they light it in the scene to match the lighting of real life, and then the lighter sends it to a compositor, and the compositor takes the fake part and the real part, and they put it together.
So clearly a lot of steps to get into it.
That's like the most simple process it could go through.
Yeah, which makes sense why the process is not as easy as like, hey, we need all these aliens. Could you like slap that together in a couple weeks? So you have been around RUF, I guess, really since your beginning of career at SCAD. And I think your story of how you got involved in RUF is awesome and hilarious. Walk us through how that happened.
So I went to the Fall Fest, which is where the SCAD students go and they look at all the clubs. And I saw SCAD or RUF and I like kind of looked at it and there was like some people standing there and I was kind of scared to talk to them and they gave me a little card and I was like, thanks. And I like ran away because I was a freshman and terrified of people. And then I went home in my dorm and I got on my laptop and I looked it up. I looked up RUF at SCAD and they had this like Facebook page and a website, and I went through and I looked at everything, and then I missed the first large group because it was on Wednesday and I looked it up on Thursday. And then I went on their Facebook and they were going to fall conference that weekend. And I was like, I should go. Like, I need to meet people and they look fun and I'm looking for like a Christian ministry on campus. This will be a good way to just like try it out. So I signed up for fall conference having never met anyone in RUF. And they sent me a message. It was like, okay, we're picking all the freshmen up at like 10:30 at night on Friday after your classes. And I packed up a little suitcase and my pillow and I walked outside and they were like, we're in the white van. And I walked up and Hampton, who had a creeper stash at the time, was in this white van asking all these kids to get into the van to go to fall conference, and I hopped in and we went and we had a really great time.
Did he also like hand out candy? I mean, it goes against everything they sort of tell you you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, but I think at that point you're so desperate. Yeah, it's like, oh, this should be fun, this will be interesting.
That just blows my mind. I mean, you and I guess are different in this way where like I can't even wrap my... It's hard for me to, like, get up the emotional energy to go do things with people I know for a weekend, much less get in a van with people I don't know and just go to this weekend. So how was it? Like, not knowing anybody, what was that experience like just going?
I'm probably the most extroverted person anyone would probably meet in their lives. So I, like, immediately hit it off with everyone. We were just in the van just talking. We were all playing, like, One Direction or something. So I had a really good time. I met so many people and I immediately went to the large group after that. And it was just like immediate connections with every single person. Everyone was so nice and they were all kind of in the same boat as me. And it just worked out from there. It was so great.
So you showed up to SCAD looking for some kind of Christian, either community or group or ministry or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had, I knew I wanted to look for a Christian ministry, but I wasn't sure, like, how involved I was going to be in one, or even if there was one on campus. So it was like, in the back of my mind, but it wasn't, like, the first thing I was thinking of. And then I found this one who, like, did that, but they also did a lot of fun stuff and, you know, the people there, and it just kind of clicked and was worth going to every single week.
Yeah.
And I had not missed a RUF large group my entire 4 years of SCAD until this term.
That's crazy.
I went every single Wednesday night from freshman to the last two quarters of my senior year. Because it was like the one thing in the week that just brought so much, like, everything was okay. Like, as long as you made it to RUF on Wednesday and you got to hang out with everyone and everyone was nice and just laughing and having a good time, it was like the one point in the week that was a rest.
Yeah.
And it was my priority. It was like, if I go to this, then I'll be okay for the next week. So I made it a priority and I went every single week.
There is something that I love so much about that, of being able to center just the weekly routines around the thing that we also believe is most important to us, and having like the constant reminder of being in the context of a group of people who actually care in the midst of a scripture that actually has something to say to us. And it is the other thing I love about that is it is possible to actually go with consistency in a school that actually is busy, that does ask a lot of you.
There were definitely times it was hard.
Yeah.
But I was like, if I go, it was always worth it. It was always worth it in the end. I went home and I always felt better at the end of the night.
So well said. Do you feel like there was a pivotal moment for you as it related to just like your experience as a Christian in your time at SCAD?
I think, I mean, in the time at SCAD.
Well, SCAD or even before. Like, I mean, so clearly you showed up recognizing this is a priority. Do you feel like there's a pivotal moment for you in faith? Either like becoming a Christian or just in the journey as a Christian that feels like a time of growth?
Yeah, so I had always like been around church as a kid, and then my family kind of stopped going for a while, but we had always, you know, like somewhat talked about it and always been kind of around. And I had a lot of friends, very Bible town, Mustang, Oklahoma.
Right.
So it was always in the background. And then in high school, my sister started going pretty consistently, and I was the middle child who didn't have a car yet. So wherever my sister went, I also went.
That's how that works. That's
so right. We both started going really consistently, and I kind of met this really good group of people, but I had never been, I always had my doubts. I was very doubtful in high school about it. So I always went, and I was super into it, and I went to every single thing, and I talked to everyone, and I learned everything, and I loved it, and it was a great time. But I had never, like, actually made the, I truly believe every single thing. There was always the little doubts in the back of my mind. And up until senior year, kind of when everything else was changing, the summer before my senior year, we went to a camp. And it was just one of those moments where it's like I had been so doubtful and been going through everything, and I had been consistently going for almost 4 years, learning everything I could. And there was just a moment that clicked of like, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what brings me joy. These people bring me joy. Like, everything I learn is a positive thing. And I think there was just a moment that night where I, like, actually decided, like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to commit. Mm-hmm. Like, I think what I'm missing and, like, all the doubt that has been in the back of my head is because I was too afraid to commit.
Yeah.
And then once I did and I actually decided, like, I am a Christian, this is what I'm going to devote my life to, like, all of the doubts went away. Yeah. It was, like, that was what was holding me back. I was holding myself back from, like, actually being able to commit to something that was so important. And so it happened very late in my senior year. So I had never been like on my own fully believing it. So then I came to college and I was like, I did this. I need to follow through with it. And I need to do it in a way that is going to help me grow and not just stick where I am and go back into my habits of just having doubt and not ever trying to find a solution to it. So then I found RUF, and it was like the thing that was consistent and constantly growing.
I love the way you were talking about, and this has been on my mind a lot too. Obviously, we've been going through the Apostles' Creed this quarter and last quarter, and a lot of what we're asking is the nature of belief. Like, what does it actually mean to believe something? And what's so cool about your story, Morgan, is, you know, you talk about for 4 years, like, there sort of was this intellectual, at least, like, inquiry or, like, sort of ascent. Like, you were kind of thinking through this stuff. And for you, like, the thing that clicked was, like, it actually necessitates something of me. It's like, it's not just these facts that are out there for my consideration. Like, to believe in Jesus actually means to believe, like, to commit to him if what he says is true. And I do think that's cool, though, that, I mean, so much of your life was changing senior year, which is, like, supposed to be the moment where things have consistency right before they all change. And for you, it was like almost everything got disrupted at once.
Yeah.
And then you found yourself in a totally new city and school and environment where like the question of committing suddenly became a lot different. And the way you've described Oklahoma, I mean, it sounds comparable, at least to like my context from Mississippi, where Christianity can very easily be just something that like you kind of do. Like in the same way that like I'm from whatever city and I went to this school and my dad's a banker and I'm a Christian. And it's like that kind of falls in line with everything else.
Like one of the questions you get when you meet people is, oh, what church do you go
to? It's not even a question of like.
It's not what neighborhood do you live in. It's, oh, what church do you go
to? Or even or even like, are you a Christian or do you go to church? It's like, what street do you live on? What church do you go to? Absolutely. Which I'm sure like for you showing up in Savannah, which like still is the South, but SCAD kind of introduces a totally different element, was probably, what was that transition like, just into a new city and all of this completely new stuff?
I think part of the reason I even chose Savannah and SCAD is, like, it had almost exactly half of both of them, where it's like you have the art school and all the young people from all over the place, and then you also have the Southern, all the old people and the tourist, and I think it was, like, right in the middle of what I was used to and new stuff that I could get used to. And I think just the balance between, like, city life, but also it's still the South and slow and comfortable.
Yeah. I think that taps into so much of what my experience has been like here, too, where Savannah feels like a city of tensions. And then when you throw SCAD into that mix, it's just ripe with all these tensions where on the one hand you have very much a remnant of Southern culture, but you plop this art school in the middle and that's a totally new dynamic. And then for somebody like you, you know, this like newfound faith as a Christian, but also in the context of like an artistic creative world that doesn't always feel like it sort of plays nicely with the Christian world and sort of vice versa. It just feels like those two things often feel like they're at odds. Yeah, you kind of have a foot in both camp. I mean, what has that been like? Has that felt like a tension? Has it felt like just a natural blending of faith and art since you've been here? I mean, what's that tension felt like?
I think you definitely have both. It definitely feels like two separate lives of, I'm like in the city of Savannah and like the church you go to and the people you would meet at like a church slightly out of town versus the people you meet going to class are very different, very separate lives. And I think the hardest part of it is trying to blend them.
Yeah.
Of like, that is who you are and you're trying to connect all of it, but it's very hard to. So it feels very much you're living two separate lives of the art student and also.
Which it kind of feels like is a thing like that perceived duality, you know, you're in the middle of that right now, is a thing that like, I feel like as Christians and artists, like we almost have an obligation to try to dispel. Like it doesn't make sense that these two worlds should feel like they're at war with one another, because as Christians, we recognize the foundation upon which creativity actually flows, that we're made by a creative God who delights in beauty. And like for us as artists to sort of implement that into the work that we do. What, you know, we talk about this a lot, what that doesn't mean is every single thing we make, like, has to end with, like, a redemption story where somebody, like, you know, sacrificed himself for somebody else. And, like, clearly that's the Jesus moment. It certainly can, but it doesn't have to. I'm curious for you, like, how does your faith inform the art, either the art that you make or kind of how you see yourself living in that world?
I think I started in a place that was so easy to be Christian, and then I moved to Savannah, and it's kind of exactly half and half, mainly because I was connected with RUF. It's still really easy to consistently do things because there's so many people like in your space, your age, doing the same thing. And I think it's like slowly just moving to a place where it's going to be harder and harder of like next year, I'm going to be in a city with no one really like connected to me through a school or something like that. And I mean, maybe work, but you're kind of just like thrown into the city and you really have to figure it out on your own. There's not going to be like a fall fest to walk through and like find a fun church where there's people exactly like you that are going to be there. So I think it's kind of just using the slow buildup of what it means, like, on my own to be a Christian, yeah, to continue my faith in an environment that's somewhat working against it.
Yeah, right. There's something about that that, I mean, so much of your experience at Skadden and RUF, like, I think the thing that everybody knows you for is the person that just does such a wonderful job of helping make everybody feel welcome. Like, in some ways, the catalyst where a community really has thrived. And, like, there, like, we don't want as Christians to feel like we're at this task alone. So even though it's difficult to leave that, I think there is something that's worth recognizing, like, for us to be able to have a group of people that we can rely on in that task. Even when you go somewhere else, like, there's going to be a church. And it might be people that ask all the questions about visual effects that you're tired of answering. But at the same time, it's like, they want to be for you. And you actually now have the opportunity to, like, help people see the way these things work together in a way that really can be, I mean, honestly, really beautiful. As you look back over your time in SCAD and in RUF, like, what do you wish you had known or thought differently at the beginning? Like, what do you wish you could tell freshman Morgan, other than just go ahead and switch to VFX?
Definitely switch to VFX. We have the coolest people. I think I was always really outgoing, and it was really easy for me to make friends and find people very quickly. But I wish I would have found a church outside of SCAD RUF students, especially now that I'm thinking of that transition, yeah, into the real world. I wish I would have found a church that I consistently went to. I tried really hard my first 2 years. I would go to a bunch of different ones, and I just never stuck with it. And I think that was, like, my biggest regret faith-wise in college, is I wish I would have found a church that wasn't just college students exactly like me, yeah, to connect with. And I think that would have made the transition less scary of, mm-hmm, going to a place where not everyone is a college student and, yeah, also a Christian.
And it's tough, too, because, I mean, especially if you grew up in the church, you know, you've had the same context for, like, 18 years of sort of what church is supposed to be like and feel, mm-hmm, like, and the people that are there. And it's hard to just instantly uproot into a place where you know you're only going to be for a little bit of time. But at the same time, what you're saying is so true. I mean, there's such a value. I mean, it's why in RUF, like, we try to connect ourselves with the local churches, is because of that very thing. Like, they have things to add value into our lives as people who are younger. But also, like, there are things as you in your particular moment in life and what you're doing can add value as well. You know, like, I used to have a conversation with people about this, and it was like trying to work through all of the, like, difficulties of the churches they'd go to or the things they liked and all this kind of stuff. And then at a certain point, it just became way more relieving to say, pick an imperfect church and just invest in it. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe you and I have had a conversation similar to that at some point where it's
probably
like,
a few.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like that's every church, actually, every, yeah, church, like wherever you end up next, it'll be a bunch of imperfect churches because on this side of Jesus' return, like, mm-hmm, the church is full of imperfect people, yeah, and that's just what it's going to be. And it's like, we actually need people who can recognize that. There's so much value in making that recognition. And now, but it's like, it's not too late for you, you, mm-hmm, know, because you're about to get a new place and sort of get that restart, and now you get the chance to do it.
I feel like it was always just the harder choice.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, I can just go to RUF and it's easy and it's right down the road and I know everyone already. And then the harder choice was like, oh, I have to go meet even more people in the same context. And
yeah,
I always just chose the easy one over it. So I wish I would have had a little more push to choose the harder one and get
into
that.
And it's funny
more,
too, because, you know, when you compare getting into a van with a bunch of total strangers with a guy with a mustache driving it, it's like, at the very least, you know you'll have commonalities with, yeah, those people because of what you're here to do. And at church, like, it can be scary because it's people from all different ages and stages, mm-hmm, of life. I mean, that's so helpful, though. All right, so we have talked a lot about, like, things that got you into film and music and sort of your section of art over the past few years. And now we're going to, like, resurface that for sure. So if you think about influences, like, what got you into, like, film VFX? Because you talked about, you know, some experience with tech school, digital, mm-hmm, media. But I'm sure it wasn't just the technical parts of it, right? Like, were there films, TV shows, music that, like, really got you passionate about this kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. My favorite movies of all time is The Lord of the Rings.
And how many times have you seen them now?
Oh my gosh. There's no count. At least like 4 times a year for like 7 years.
And that's impressive.
At least. And I read the books probably once every 2 years. And I just love it so much. I think The Lord of the Rings was honestly like the turning point. Well, The Lord of the Rings and then also like Twilight. Very 2 different things. Of like middle school me was absolutely in love with Twilight. And then all the movies were coming out. And I thought they were the coolest thing ever. And like both of, I think so many movies, so many people's like favorite movies, favorite TV shows would not be the same without visual effects. And yeah. I think that's how I kind of saw it, of like, what would The Lord of the Rings be if there wasn't all these amazing armies that you could see fighting and the way they looked? And yeah, I was just a huge nerd. I really liked Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, like everything. And I just wanted to be a part of that in any way possible. I remember I went to the school that I was going to go to for marketing. And I told them, the guy who I was talking to was like in charge of the accounting whatever there, and I was like, yeah, I really like, I'm thinking of going to film school, like I just really love films, I just want to be a part of it in any way. And he goes, well, my daughter wanted to go to film school, but I also told her she needed to make money, so we would always go to the theaters and we would sit down and we would wait until the very end of the credits, because there's accountants listed in the credits of film,
man.
And that's how he convinced her to go to accounting school over film school. Is like, look, you're still in the credits and you're contributing to this wonderful art. And I actually wrote about that in my like entry letter to SCAD. It was like, I don't want to be in the credits for accounting. Like, I know he was like probably trying to do it as like the good of his heart of, yeah. Oh, but you're still contributing. And that was just like the saddest story to me. It was like this girl who wanted to contribute to this wonderful art, and she was an accountant on it. And yeah. I think that kind of really turned me away from the whole, I really like marketing and commercial and that kind of stuff, to I actually want to do something other than the bare minimum to be a part of it.
And I think that's what SCAD does really well, is like, I feel like if you were talking to a SCAD admissions counselor and you talked about your passion for film, and then somebody said, yeah, but you actually need to like make a career doing it, I think their response would be like, oh yeah, we're aware of that. Like, that's why we exist. Yeah. So both of those things can be true. And the thing I love about, I can't speak to Twilight, although I have actually seen the first one and don't remember much about it other than the baseball. Is there like a baseball thing?
Oh, there's a baseball scene. Iconic.
Can't speak much to that. But what I do love about at least Lord of the Rings with VFX is it always feels like it's there to serve the story. Mm-hmm. It's never just cool for its own sake. It is always adding to like the narrative that's taking place. Mm-hmm. It's just so well done. And you'd know more about this than me, but wasn't that like a lot of practical effects more so than a lot of like, I mean, obviously they had both, but way more than probably what happened now.
Yeah, they did. It was kind of like on the brink of when visual effects was becoming much easier to do. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the reason a lot of visual effects became easier to do. So they had a lot of, like, miniatures, practical effects, and then they also used an insane amount of visual effects, and it was, like, the cornerstone, kind of, at least in my opinion.
And I feel like it's still aged really well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't look dated at all.
Not at all. I love them so much.
So when was the last time you watched them, then?
Oh, my God. It's actually been a while. I was almost watched it this morning. It's been so long. Because I was thinking, I was like, Martin's going to ask me my favorite movie, and I'm going to say The Lord of the Rings, and I haven't seen it in so long.
So you feel like a phony now?
I do.
Oh, man.
I did read The Hobbit not too long ago, though.
That'll count.
Yeah. That's, like, the really easy. You can do it, like, a day. I was like, oh, man, I miss The Lord of the Rings. What should I do? And just read The Hobbit again.
Yeah. So it was, like, the big kind of, in your words, nerdy, kind of grandiose, like, fantasy-type things that really got you into film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What were some other ones? Was it mostly movies?
I really liked TV shows. I was super into the whole, like, Sherlock and Doctor Who, and I really liked Star Trek. That was a big turning point.
I would have never guessed that.
I love Star Trek.
Like, all of them? All the,
I have not seen all of them. There is a lot of Star Trek content out in the world.
Are you talking about just the original series?
Yes. I used to sit in class and I would watch like the 1960s TV show, and it's so funny. I love it.
Sure. All right. So, what others? Give me a couple other, like, just influential or just even favorite film, TV show, movies.
Okay. Well, I have two tattoos on my leg that are very big. I always tell people, like, I get two favorite movies because I have the dedication to them. And that's Fight Club and The Truman Show.
In that order? Or does it matter?
Okay. In that order.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Fight Club was one of the first movies I'd watched and just wanted to watch over and over and over again. It was the first movie that I was like, this on its own, just as a film, is incredible, and I wanted to watch it all the time, and I thought it was so cool and so, like, revolutionary. Even though I'd watched it in, like, 2016 and it came out forever ago.
I mean, it definitely was ahead of its time when it came out. It's crazy that was a big budget, big company release too.
Yeah.
All right, so since this is not a visual medium and everybody listening can't see, which two scenes of the movies have now permanently etched their way in your skin?
Oh, the ending scene of both of them. So I have The Truman Show when he's walking up the staircase to leave, and then Fight Club when they're, like, standing in front of the window and all the buildings are exploding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going to get on your other leg two other scenes?
Oh, I don't know. I have a lot of real estate here.
Yeah. If you were to get two more, is that a hard question? If you were to get two more, which two would they be?
Oh, I would probably get Your Name.
Yeah.
Which is a Japanese anime movie, which is incredible. And probably another Lord of the Rings tattoo.
I thought for sure you were going to say Gollum or something. Gollum falling into the flames.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
That's just a thought.
Yeah.
Hold on to that one.
Yeah, I'll write that down. Yeah.
Well, any parting words as you wrap up not just the episode of this particular podcast, but of your SCAD career? Any parting words or things that you feel like you have to express?
Other than I'm really going to miss SCAD.
Yeah. It's refreshing to hear someone say that.
And it's, like, coming up so soon that I'm leaving, where I keep just, like, driving through the trees, and I'm like, oh, I'm about to cry because I'm not going to see these soon.
That's why you just came back to visit.
Yeah, I definitely will have to come back. I can't imagine living in another city that is, like, as perfect for me as Savannah. It's just been so beautiful. I love this place.
What are the three things about Savannah, other than, like, the super obvious, like, whatever, people and SCAD, and, like, what are the three things about Savannah distinctly that you think you're going to miss the most?
Oh, no.
I tried to give you three. I thought that was helpful.
I mean, it's just beautiful. And the culture is great, where you have, like, all of the older people who live here all the time, and they're so nice. And then you get, like, the tourists that you get to watch. I love people watching. Yes, and there's no better place than Savannah, Georgia, to people watch. You just sit on a bench for 7 hours and you will never not be entertained.
I mean, think about the cross section of people you get. Like, you have kind of like the old South locals, and then you have, like, the clearly recognizable tourists, and then you have SCAD students, and all of them are, like, walking down the same street interacting with one another. It's awesome.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
The amount of times I've been, like, asked on the street for, like, directions from tourists, and it's, like, it's never a mundane thing to happen.
Yes.
My favorite is if you go by, like, one of the cemeteries or any of the roads that have, like, really bumpy brick streets or, like, River Street, you just go and you sit and you get yourself some coffee and you count how many tourists trip. Because they're all going to trip. They're all going to trip on some one brick that's sticking up, and it's the best entertainment.
Wow. That is so simple.
Yeah.
Yet so insightful.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. Favorite, like, restaurant and or coffee shop that you're going to miss from Savannah?
Ooh.
But you only get one on this one.
Okay. Well, then I got to think about it. I think, well, there's, like, the best, like, food I've had. And then there's, like, the place I go to all the time because it's just a good environment.
The one you're going to miss the most.
Okay. Goose Feathers Cafe.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the food is good. It is just a cafe, and it's breakfast food, so it's not, like, amazing, but it's so cheap, and it's always incredible, and it's, like, right on Broughton Street, and you can sit outside, and it's just, like, something about, like, waking up in the morning and going downtown and eating eggs and toast for, like, $4, like, once a week is just the best feeling in the world, and you just can't do it at any other rest. Like, fancy restaurants are great, but I think I'm definitely going to miss goose feathers the most.
This means you have to come back and get some.
Oh, yeah.
I'm picturing the scene as you describe it, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I think it would make anybody want to stay in Savannah.
I think so. So
a good word to end on. Morgan, thanks for joining us today. And happy graduation/congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Until next time.